There was another reason why I came here, Master Vedlu, Sacid said, looking up. Tell me, have any of your people died recently in odd circumstances?
Of what do you speak?
The aged terraceman asked. Missed deaths, Sazed said. Men who are killed by simply going out into the mists during the day.
That is a tale of the Ska, one of the other men scoffed. The mists are not dangerous.
Indeed, Sazed said carefully. Do you send your people out to work in them during the daylight hours, when the mists have not yet retreated for the day?
Of course we do, said the younger terraceman. Why, it would be foolish to let those hours of work pass.
Sazed found it difficult not to let his curiosity work on that fact. Terracemen weren't killed by the day mists. What was the connection? He tried to summon the mental energy to think on the issue, but he felt traitorously apathetic. He just wanted to hide somewhere where nobody would expect anything of him, where he wouldn't have to solve the problems of the world or even deal with his own religious crisis. He almost did just that. And yet a little part of him, a spark from before, refused to simply give up. He would at least continue his research and would do what Elland and Vin asked of him. It wasn't all he could do, and it wouldn't satisfy the terraceman who sat here looking at him with needful expressions. But for the moment, it was all Sazed could offer. To stay at the pits would be to surrender, he knew. He needed to keep moving, keep working.
I'm sorry, he said to the men, setting aside the ledger. But this is how it must be.
During the early days of Kelsier's original plan, I remember how much he confused us all with his mysterious 11th metal. He claimed that there were legends of a mystical metal that would let one slay the Lord Ruler, and that Kelsier himself had located that metal through intense research. Nobody really knew what Kelsier did in the years between his escape from the pits of Hathsin and his return to Luthadel. When pressed, he simply said that he had been in the West. Somehow, in his wanderings, he discovered stories that no keeper had ever heard. Most of the crew didn't know what to make of the legends he spoke of. This might have been the first seed that made even his oldest friends begin to question his leadership. 23. In the eastern lands, near the wastelands of grit and sand, a young boy fell to the ground inside a Ska shack. It was many years before the collapse, and the Lord Ruler still lived. Not that the boy knew of such things. He was a dirty, ragged thing, like most other Ska children in the Final Empire. Too young to be put to work in the mines, he spent his days ducking away from his mother's care and running about with the packs of children who foraged in the dry, dusty streets. Spook hadn't been that boy for some 10 years. In a way, he was aware that he was delusional, that the fever of his wounds was causing him to come in and out of consciousness, dreams of the past filling his mind. He let them run. Staying focused required too much energy. And so he remembered what it felt like as he hit the ground. A large man, all men were large compared with Spook, stood over him, skin dirtied with the dust and grime of a miner. The man spat on the dirty floor beside Spook, then turned to the other Ska in the room. There were many. One was crying, the tears leaving lines of cleanliness on her cheeks, washing away the dust.
All right, the large man said. We have him. Now what?
The people glanced at each other. One quietly closed the shack's door, shutting out the red sunlight.
There's only one thing to be done, another man said. We turn them in.
Spook looked up. He met the eyes of the crying woman. She looked away.
Wasing the where of that? Spook demanded.
The large man spat again, setting a boot against Spook's neck,
pushing him back down against the rough wood.
You shouldn't have let him run around with those street gangs, Margell. Damn boy is barely coherent now.
What happens if we give him up? Asked one of the other men. I mean, what if they decide that we're like him? They could have us executed. I've seen it before. You turn someone in and those things come searching for everyone that knew him.
Problems like his run in the family, they do, another man said.
The room grew quiet. They all knew about Spook's family.
They'll kill us, said the frightened man. You know they will. I've seen them. Seen them with those spikes in their eyes. Spirits of death, they are.
We can't just let him run about, another man said. They'll discover what he is. There's only one thing to be done, the large man said, pressing down on Spook's neck even harder.
The room's occupants, the ones Spook could see, nodded solemnly. They couldn't turn him in. They couldn't let him go. But nobody would miss a Ska urchin. No inquisitor or obligator would ask twice about a dead child found in the streets. Ska died all the time. That was the way of the Final Empire.
Father,
Spook whispered. The heel came down harder.
You're not my son. My son went into the mists and never came out. You must be a mist wraith.
Spook tried to object, but his chest was pressed down too tight. He couldn't breathe, let alone speak. The room started to grow black. And yet his ears, supernaturally sensitive, enhanced by powers he barely understood, heard something. Coins. The pressure on his neck grew weaker. He was able to gasp for breath, his vision returning. And there, spilled on the ground before him, was a scattering of beautiful copper coins. Ska weren't paid for their work. The miners were given goods instead, barely enough to survive on. Yet Spook had seen coins occasionally passing between noble hands. He'd once known a boy who had found a coin, lost in the dusty grime of the street. A larger boy had killed him for it. Then a nobleman had killed that boy when he'd tried to spend it. It seemed to Spook that no Ska would want coins. They were far too valuable and far too dangerous. And yet every eye in the room stared at that spilled bag of wealth.
The bag, in exchange for the boy, a voice said.
Bodies parted to where a man sat at a table.